all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday morning to you, my friends. Frigid temps out there today in Chicago, December 20th, as we have a big day on tap for you here on your home of the White Sox and, of course, your home of the Chicago Bears as well. Huge game between the Bears and Packers with lots of playoff implications on the line, which you're going to hear that game again on your home of the Bears and the White Sox right here tonight with a full jam-packed day of Bears coverage after White Sox Weekly concludes here. I'm going to give you the lineup because all day long, we're just going to have you locked and loaded. It's a big day, blowing it out, because when you get Saturday Night Football, we're going to bring it to you. Strap on your helmet, friends, because it's going to be a long day of football coverage after we warm the cockles of your heart with some baseball talk. But full day of coverage after we're done here on White Sox Weekly. It's going to be Chicago's College Tailgate with Tyler and Shay. 11-1, it's going to be the Bears pregame spectacular. That's right, the pregame spectacular. Carmen DeFalco and Barstool Eddie. 1-3, Bears pregame extravaganza. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling will come back and give you 2 hours of pregame coverage. Then your usual Bears game day coverage, pregame tailgate, Black and Abdallah from 3-5. 5-7 will be your Bears network pregame show. Waddle, Sylvie, and Dion Miller. Of course, you'll have the Bears and Packers game getting going around 7 o'clock. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer on the call with Jason McKee on the sidelines. Your Bears network postgame show with Yurko and Dion wrapping it up. And then we're going to roll right into Sunday morning, folks. I will be back at 12, right around 12:30, we'll call it, 12:30 a.m. to give you two more hours of post-game coverage along with Pat the Designer. So full day of Bears and Packers coverage after we conclude our White Sox convo today here, as we do each and every Saturday on White Sox Weekly. All right, so the White Sox had themselves a busy little week as well, as they acquired outfielder Tristan Peters from the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for a player to be named later. Peters is 25. He spent most of the 2025 season with the AAA Durham Bulls. He hit .266 with a .355 on base and a .429 slug, hit 15 homers, drove in 76, also scored 73 runs, stole 11 bases in a career-high 136 games. He also appeared in 4 games with the Rays after making his Major League debut back on August 8th in Seattle. Peters is 6 foot, 200 pounds. He was named the International League Player of the Month for June, had a spectacular month. He hit .385 with a .486 on base, .670 slug, also homered 5 times, drove in 27 in 25 games. So Tristan Peters, he was originally selected by Milwaukee in the 7th round of the 2021 draft out of Southern Illinois University, before he was traded by the Brewers to San Francisco, and then he was traded for Trevor Rosenthal at the time. You may remember him, a closer for a 2 to 3 year stint, pretty damn good one for a while there too. And then he was eventually traded by the Giants to the Rays back in November of 2022 in exchange for infielder Brett Wisely. And now the White Sox have added Tristan Peters to their 40-man roster. Also, the White Sox rounded out their coaching staff for the 2026 season with a couple of additions. They announced that Bobby Hearn will be the assistant pitching coach. Jose Leher will be the first base coach and also outfield coach. So he'll help with defensive alignment for the outfielders out there and work with them as well. And then Chris D'Onofrio is going to be the major league field coordinator. They also announced that Bennett Markinson is going to be the bullpen catcher, and then Tony Medina will be a major league assistant, as that will round out Will Venable's coaching staff for the 2026 season. We got a chance to speak with Chris D'Onofrio earlier this week. Chris D'Onofrio was with the Rockies organization. He also spent some time here in Chicago as a member of the Chicago Cubs as a player back in 2015. So DeNorfia knows the city well. He also knows Will Venable very well, one of his best friends in the game. Chris talked about the opportunity to be a member of Will Venable's staff.
I mean, what a special industry we get to work in, and it's kind of rare when you get to actually work with one of your best friends. So it's an opportunity I'm not taking lightly, and I'm very, very thankful for. Will and his family mean the world to myself and my family. So that part of it, I'm super excited about. As for the role, you know, the field coordinator role, it kind of varies from org to org. So the way it's explained to me and which way I'm going to tackle it is there's going to be a lot of practice design and scheduling for the players to make sure that they have everything they need on an individual basis to kind of keep improving. So, I mean, there's going to be some other aspects of it, but that's the part I'm going to be tackling in spring training initially, just making sure that we get off on the right foot and that everything is working smoothly.
The team had 100 losses again last year, but you talked to players and people in the organization, and they all really seem to think that Will Venable is the guy, that he really resonates. Okay. Doesn't sound like that would surprise you at all to hear that kind of sentiment.
No, it doesn't. I've got 5 years in a clubhouse with Will, and I know what he's like in there. And he's a very likable personality. Everybody knows that he comes prepared and ready to work. And as I've watched him mature and grow into this role, he's just very good at messaging and getting guys to get on board with it. So he's super organized and just a fantastic leader in the making and currently as well.
Just curious, you have a track record here in Chicago. What's your thoughts about the city itself?
It broke my heart to have to leave it the first time. I got to spend a couple years, and it really is a special place, especially in summertime. I know you guys are going through it right now with the temperatures, but that's part of it too. It was a great time in my life. I had young children and my wife was with me, and it's just a magical place to be. It's this dual sense where it's this large city, but it feels like a small town. I don't know how to describe it. It's completely different than going to New York, whether it's the space between the buildings or the little neighborhoods or whatever. It's just a really magical city.
I got to ask you the ultimate question. Have you had Chicago pizza?
I actually had one last night. My father-in-law had a couple frozen ones shipped and from Lumonati's, and I got the pepperoni last night. That one's gone, and we got three more in the freezer now. It's not quite the same coming out of the ice box, but we got to introduce the children to it. They were a little bit surprised to see the sauce on top, I'll be honest with you.
Deep dish or thin?
Well, so now we're getting into it, right? I mean, I'm from what the new sign on our highway says is the pizza capital of the world in Connecticut. So, you know, we take our pizza pretty seriously down here in New Haven. So I'll be honest with you, I love them both. They're just very, very different.
I will echo Chris DeNorfia's sentiments there, as I love both a deep dish or a New Haven, Connecticut style pizza. You go with thin crust. Listen, there's no bad pizza. Let's be honest. That's the truth of the matter. But that is Chris DeNorfia. As I mentioned, he spent a season with the Cubs back in 2015 as a player. He was also a special assistant to the during the 2018 season for the Cubs before he joined their major league staff back in 2019 as a quality assurance coach. Obviously, he's made his way through the Rockies organization since then. I did mention Will Venable knew Chris DeNorfia. They're good friends. They actually were teammates for five seasons in San Diego from 2010 through 2014. You heard Chris talk about Will Venable there. And also DeNorfia actually back in 2013, when he was teammates with Will Venable, was named the San Diego Padres Heart and Hustle Award winner when he tied for fifth in the majors with 13 outfield assists. So that was Chris DeNorfia talking about coming back to Chicago and now getting a chance to team up with one of his closest friends in the game. The White Sox also announced the fact that they will now have a first base coach on the staff, and that is going to be Jose LaHare. Jose LaHare spoke with the media as well after Chris Denorfia wrapped up and had a lot of interesting things to say as well about joining the Sox.
Oh, definitely working with the outfielders, getting them better, getting them to coach. That's something that we spoke about as a group, that we need to coach these guys. Even though they're in the big leagues, they're eager to learn and continue to grow. And that's going to be my challenge, getting these guys better in the outfield as well as the base running. I'm in charge of the base running. We're trying to implement aggressiveness and get the most out of their speed and their skills on the base path in order to score runs, which is the end goal there. So first base, I'm familiar with it. I'm more familiar with third base, just coming through the minors as a manager for such a long time. I'm more familiar with third base. But this past year, being a base running coordinator / assistant field coordinator, I got to fill in for some coaches during the season and coach first base, and I'm familiar with it now, and I'm looking forward to it.
Since coming on, both Will and Chris have been, you know, hammering like the importance of pre-pitch setup on defense or secondary leads on base running, and trying to get a lot out of these little details. As you're talking to him about it, what sort of like connection or similar mindset did you find that you had about that stuff with him?
Definitely similar thoughts on my end. I think the first step and the first reaction is very important, both in the outfield and on the base path. Anticipation is the key here. You know, just good positioning when you're talking about outfielders. That first step, that first direction, angles, all those are important. And we're going to hammer that during drills, during spring training. We're going to continue that during the season to make sure that we're really efficient with our routes. On the base path, same thing. It's anticipating, it's understanding tips and tells from the opposition. It's learning what the situation is bringing to them. But it's going to be my job to be in their ears and right behind their shoulders, reminding them, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what we're anticipating. I think preparation is the key. And obviously making it important on our end so the players understand that it's important for us as an organization is going to be also very important throughout the season.
And, you know, you've had roles with the Cardinals where you're, you know, working with their academy and you know, helping, you know, develop players in the Dominican Republic. Like, does, you know, being bilingual and, you know, being able to have past connections with Latin American players, do you plan on kind of being helpful for that for, you know, guys, maybe their English isn't, you know, their best language and stuff like that? Do you view that as kind of a role you have on the staff of, you know, connecting with that group of players?
Definitely. It's something that we talked about, and definitely going to try to establish that connection with the Latin players and help them feel comfortable, because at the end, they need that. The players need that comfort. And any challenge that they may have that I can help, I'll be also open to do that. I've done it in the past. And, you know, sometimes you just got to close that gap and to have a better culture inside a clubhouse. That connection is needed. And when you have a bilingual coach, it definitely helps.
Again, that is 43-year-old Jose LaHare, who spent the last 8 seasons with the St. Louis Cardinals inside of their organization. He's got plenty of managerial experience throughout the minor league level, and he's currently managing in the Dominican Winter League. So you heard there, he's bilingual. That certainly is something that is instrumental in most clubhouses these days. So he will be helpful as he will be manning first base as the coach of the upcoming season and also be helping with outfield work as well. Happy holidays, White Sox fans. That's right, they're already here. Celebrate this offseason with the perfect gift for family and friends, a White Sox Holiday Flex Pack. Sounds like the perfect Christmas gift to me, if I do say so myself. Starting at just $66 and redeemable for more than 50 games throughout the 2026 season. To learn more and purchase, visit whitesox.com/holidaypacks. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. When we return, Will Venable met the media yesterday, talked a lot about filling out his coaching staff, and took a look ahead at the 2026 season. We'll share what Will Venable had to say with you, White Sox manager, coming up next, right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly
on the home of the Chicago White Sox,
ESPN 1000.
Follow follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider and get special offers, single game ticket pre-sales, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly each and every Saturday morning, hanging out with you talking White Sox baseball. Of course, it's a big Saturday. In addition to all the White Sox conversation we have for the remainder of the hour, we've got plenty of Bears and Packers coverage coming your way. In addition to being the home of the White Sox, you know we're the home of the Bears. So don't worry, we've got you covered. Plenty of Bears coverage coming your way as soon as we wrap up here on White Sox Weekly. So I mentioned in the opening segment that the White Sox filled out their coaching staff. They announced all of the final remaining spots earlier this week. White Sox manager Will Venable met with the assembled media on Friday to discuss his coaching staff hirings and some of the White Sox offseason moves to this point. MLB.com's Scott Merkin led things off with this question.
You know, we saw the whole coaching staff you have, and it's a young group, although everyone's kind of young compared to me. But still, was it by design, or was it by, you know, to maybe kind of let them grow with the young players, are just kind of happenstance with the qualities that you were looking for?
Yeah, I mean, just how it happened. You know, we were very intentional about, you know, what we wanted from our entire staff structure, what we were looking for. And, you know, as we went through our process and we're narrowing down candidates, you know, we just kind of ended up with the group that we ended up with that ended up, being a little bit of a younger group.
Hey, Will, how's it going? You kind of alluded at winter meetings that, you know, you were excited about having, I guess, a three pitching coach staff. What about that? Did that kind of emerge as a clear need, over the course of last season, or what kind of going forward do you think like, it, sets you up to be able to better do?
Yeah, I think just as we were kind of coming into this year, and trying to be, you know, as an efficient a staff as possible and really all pulling in the same direction and really maximizing our ability to develop players and think about, you know, this balance, you always hear this balance between winning and development. For us, you know, creating a winning culture and winning games is about developing. And so that was kind of at the forefront of what we wanted to do and the way that we structured our staff, the kind of coaches that we got, we wanted to gear it towards development. And so really excited about this second pitching coaching job now putting us in the spot where, you know, really even beyond that, we're kind of structuring things to take some of the game planning stuff off of the head coach's plate, add the second pitching coach in there, allow us to really tap into resources. Again, doing everything that we can to kind of align around development and tapping into all the resources as possible to help these guys get better. So, you know, adding that second assistant pitching coach is going to help us do that and support Zach to do his thing as well.
So kind of more bandwidth to focus on maybe more long-term development goals with guys and not just like all on how are we going to get through nine innings tonight type of mindset, I guess.
Yeah, and that's certainly still part of the program. Just the heavy lifting of that will be done in support of Zach, in support of Bobby, you know, we'll and in support of Weiser. So we'll take some of the game planning off of their plate. Obviously, that's still part of it, but allow them to really attack, like you said, the adjustments, the day-to-day adjustments, the long-term adjustments that we're trying to do to help guys develop into the best versions of themselves.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Sarah.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Will, when you started to do this process, what were the traits you were looking for, and how did you go about doing it? Were the people you knew or people you knew of when you were putting the staff together?
Yeah, first of all, just going back to the beginning of the process, you know, really led by Chris Getz and Brian Mahler and Josh Barfield, where we had a really clear process up front of really mapping out and putting on paper the things that were important to each role, the competencies that we thought that were important, the responsibilities, and the skill sets. And we're very, very detailed with that. Knowing, though, that when we go into this process and we talk to people, that no one is going to check all these boxes, of course. We went in with a really full kind of comprehensive idea of what we were looking for in each role. But as we went through, obviously, with a really wide range of people and different kind of skill sets and spent time on Zooms and on phone calls and doing all of our homework, we just ended up kind of narrowing it down based on the people that we thought were the best fits. And then as we got into kind of into the second and secondary roles, well, we wanted to make sure that these guys also complemented the rest of the staff as well. So, we just kind of kept an eye on everything that was important to us, knowing, though, that we were going to have to be flexible and just making sure that we all complemented each other well.
Will, how are we doing today?
Good, Coach. How are you?
Great. Given that you got your first year under your belt as a manager, how important was it for you in reshaping this coaching staff to find coaches that you feel aligned with you and that you felt comfortable with, knowing that you had a say-so in these coaches opposed to the previous coaches that you really inherited?
Yeah, I think, really, really not about me, but just for our program, we thought that it was just important to find the right fits. And I think even beyond the fits, really just starting with what is the structure that we think is the most beneficial, the flows of communication, how the responsibilities, how we're going to split those up, who's doing what and when throughout the day. We just wanted to make sure that we were as efficient as possible. And so as we, reimagined some of these roles and kind of put those things into place, we were then able to kind of follow up and say, okay, like these will be the types of people or the guys, the coaching staff that can carry this structure, that can carry this program and really bring it to life. Again, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, I need to bring my guys in or anything. We just needed to kind of hit the reset button a little bit on the efficiency of our staff, on the structure. And then as a group, be collaborative and get the right people in place that can give our players the best chance to be at their best. So we're really excited about the process. There was a lot of people that contributed. And at the end of the day, we're really excited about the staff we put together.
Hey, Will, you mentioned roles there. What do you see as far as Chris's role in the Major League field coordinator position?
Yeah, really excited about Chris. And I know you guys know about my history with Chris, and certainly just excited to add, a quality individual, a great human who's got a great track record of experience in the league and a great track record of being a great teammate. So just really excited to add the person to the group. His role is going to be a really vital one. I mean, when we talk about, kind of reshaping our staff, putting, these programs and these structures into place, I think like the easy way to view kind of Dino's, broad role is that he's going to make sure that all of these systems are running right. He's going to be the support system behind the system. He's going to be the guy that is going to make sure that people have what they need on the field, that they have the right feedback loops in place, that they have all the things that they need to make things happen. He's going to be able to do that. He's going to be in that way, it's somewhat of an extension of me. I view my role in the same way, right? Like I'm here to support our staff and to make sure that they have everything they need. Dino's going to be able to be an extension of me in that way and do that. Dino is also going to be in charge of our internal tipping stuff. We're kind of doing some homework on the opposing pitchers. He's going to be responsible for that. He's going to lead up our day-to-day schedule, including our spring training scheduling, again making sure that the flow of our day, that everyone has everything that they need. He has a really good understanding with his experience as a player, as a coach, what that means, and has the ability to create relationships across the board to tap into the group to make sure that, everybody has what they need to get through a day, to get through spring training, and really, maximize our efficiency here. So, another really big area for Dino, and again, in this spirit of kind of restructuring our staff geared towards development, we know that there's just so much overlap between our coaching staff and our performance group on everything that we do, whether that's, rehab stuff, just getting guys moving more efficiently, there's adjustments that we're making mechanically that involve the performance group, whatever it might be. There's just a ton of overlap. On the pitching side, Bobby Hearn's going to be overseeing a lot of those touch points. On the position player side, that'll be something that Dino's doing, you know, along with our coaches. But, you know, Dino will have oversight over, you know, a lot of the collaboration between the coaching staff and the performance group. So, yeah, lot to Dino's job, but really excited for his, you know, skill set to be able to be utilized here and really help us in a lot of different areas.
Dino, that is Will Venable's close friend, Chris DeNorfia, as we let you hear from Chris earlier in the show. Dino, first thing I think of when I hear Dino is the Flintstones pet. Not sure if you folks out there are old enough to remember the Flintstones, but one of my favorite cartoons back in the day. But no, there's some more specifics from White Sox manager Will Venable about Chris DeNorfia's responsibilities as a member of his coaching staff. I'm Jeff Mellor. This is White Sox Weekly. We still have more to come from Will Venable. Specifically, he talked about what the White Sox have on the roster right now and some of the potential moves that are still yet to be made. So we'll let you hear more from the White Sox skipper when we return right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
What are you doing the last weekend of January? I know what you're doing tonight. You're listening to the Bears and Packers right here in your home of the Chicago Bears and your home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000. But what are you doing the last week of January? This is the, now, maybe you're thinking ahead to what the Bears might be doing in the playoffs. That will be interesting. But you're going to have some free time at, they're not playing all weekend long the last weekend of January. So you can carve out some time, White Sox fans, to get yourself a ticket to attend Sox Fest Live. That's right. It returns to the Remova Theater, presented by Rate, Blue Moon, and Wintrust. Celebrate the start of the season with music, entertainment, and insider conversations with members of the 2026 Clubhouse on Saturday, January 31st. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit whitesox.com/SoxFest.com. Live. Going to be a fun time at the Remova Theater, so make sure you plan accordingly, folks. Jeff Mellor back here on White Sox Weekly. Again, every Saturday morning, we're talking some baseball, talking some White Sox with you on the home of the Chicago White Sox. I talked about Will Venable looking ahead to what the White Sox might have on tap for the remainder of the offseason as he addressed that. In addition to all the other stuff we played for you earlier, this was Will Venable talking about where the White Sox roster stands right now and if there could be any potential moves on the horizon.
Yeah, I think obviously with still a lot of time to go, you know, it's a day-to-day effort, obviously, in improving our roster like it is for every club across the league. And I know, you know, that Getsy and the group are hard at work doing everything they can every day to improve us in whatever way they can. So, I anticipate there being a lot of moves here coming up, just like there will be across the league, just knowing that there's so much time. But at the same time, you know, we're really excited about the group that we have. And there's been a ton of great work between our coaching staff, between our medical group, between our players, just a lot of communication, a lot of synergy and excitement. And kind of the progress that guys have made this offseason. So, we're staying tuned, but we're really focused on the group we have and getting better.
You mentioned a lot about structure so far, and you talked about having more room for development and also working kind of more hand-in-hand with performance. What were kind of the structural goals you had, you know, coming into this process as you were looking at the staff?
Structural goals? What do you mean? Sorry.
Like, I guess, like, you're talking in terms of, like, wanting more structure, wanting more, like, you know, collaboration between sports performance and the coaching staff, or, you know, having more room for the pitching staff or pitching coaches to work on development. Like, were there some other, like, goals you had in that vein when you were putting together the staff?
Yeah, no, it's just about maximizing all that stuff. You know, when we think about let's say on the pitching department, a pitching guy or a hitting guy, a head guy, and what they have to do to help a player in their development path. Certainly, there's a lot of touch points in which they need to, collaborate with the S&C department, with the medical group, the biomechanist. There's R&D information. There's a lot of different things that we need to pull together. Game planning and sitting down and kind of, hammering out hours and hours on the opponent is not one of the things that we want them to be doing. So, we want to take that off their plate. Obviously, there's an organic immersion with that side of it that these guys will do. But the biggest part of this structure was to be able to take that off their plate, allocate that to other, people, and make sure that these guys are able to be at the forefront of the development of each of our players.
With Chris D'Onofrio yesterday, he was talking about, like, you guys have been friends for so long, he didn't want to kind of, I guess, mix that with work, or he didn't want to come and ask you for a job because you guys have had such a pre-existing relationship. How did you kind of approach, someone who's obviously been a close friend of yours, but also now, I guess, you're kind of his boss a little bit? Like, did that give you a moment of hesitancy, or how do you kind of navigate that relationship going forward?
Yeah, well, up front, yeah, there was some sensitivity to it because, you want to align skill sets, but there's a process to these things. And, it's got to be a fit on our end. It's got to be a fit on his end, too. And he was in a good spot. But I, thought that it was a great fit. But just knowing that there was a process to exploring that, and that it could go a lot of different ways. I was sensitive to that, just knowing, about our relationship. At the same time, this is part of, moving your program forward is, surrounding yourself with people that you trust and know can go out there and execute it. And I was certainly confident about, him coming in and being able to do that for us. So, that to me was the most important thing. And to be able to add somebody of his makeup and his skill set, it was a no-brainer. So, as much as sensitivity as I had up front about it, just really excited that we got to the finish line on it.
You mentioned he's going to be, really working hard on, finding tips and tells. And, when we talked to Jose yesterday, he mentioned if you want to really have opportunities to take extra bases, you got to be really locked in on little tips and tells for when to go. Has that been something that was really big for you going into next season, that you want guys drilled in on as finding out little edges or finding opportunities to find edges as much as possible?
Yeah, that's something that, I think you go across the league, that's going to be at the forefront of everyone's base running program. Certainly the things that you can control to put yourself physically in a good spot to advance. But then every edge that you can find, it's really a collaborative effort and a really big job to go attack those things. So, yes, as we're looking to move our group forward in every way possible, really building out that program, having Jose, Dino's experience with it, Jersh, we'll have a number of people, diving in and doing all the research to find every edge we can to help our base runners out there.
Finally, there's a lot of new titles around the league that you don't necessarily know what it means off first impression. What is a major league assistant for Tony Medina? What do you kind of see that role being?
Yeah, he's going to assist the hitting guys. He's going to be there. Really important role. He'll do a lot of the game planning again, assisting with that, taking that the bulk of that off the plate of Joel and Cho, and letting those guys have the bandwidth to make sure that they're coaching and doing all the things they need to do to make our hitters at their best. And so yeah, he's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting on that kind of stuff. He's going to set up a lot of our practice design, some of the cage stuff. You need somebody that is really technically proficient and can operate traject. That's a responsibility that he's going to have as well. So he's going to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to really help carry our hitting department.
You mentioned Jose there. Yeah, just what we had a chance to talk to him yesterday as well. Just what stood out to you about Jose and adding him to the mix and to the staff as well?
Yeah, really excited about Jose. First of all, you look at his track record as a coach, being in the Cardinals organization, they're the brand of baseball that they've had, and his contributions over there. This guy has won awards as a manager, just a ton of history, and some interesting different roles that he's held. And so just really, really like kind of the resume when you look at Jose. And you add a guy that's managing in the Dominican Winter League, and I played in that league. I know what that means to manage in that league. And so just really impressive on paper. And then when you talk to him, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know how many interviews we did this offseason, but, you know, he was as articulate and presented his ideas as clearly as anybody. And English is his second language, you know. So that was just really, really impressive guy when you start adding all that up. Then you start doing your background checkups with, you know, your references with people that he's worked with. You know, everyone in that organization just had a ton of great things to say about him. So, yeah, just really impressive guy. Just kind of really jumped out from the beginning as an interesting candidate. And then every step of the way, he really just followed through and just continued to be impressed by Jose.
And you were asked earlier about moves. You guys did make a move yesterday and adding Tristan Peters. Any early scouting report on him?
Yeah, you know what? I was traveling all day yesterday, and so I've just through my phone, I've just been checking up on him. Yeah, seems like a really interesting guy. Obviously, some performance offensively, but I think defensively, really interesting. I know there's some clips floating around, some web gems that he's made. So, yeah, anytime that you can get a plus defender up the middle, it's really exciting.
Again, that was White Sox manager Will Venable at the end there discussing the addition of Tristan Peters, who the White Sox acquired earlier in the week in a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. So Tristan Peters has been added to the White Sox 40-man roster, in addition to also the White Sox rounding out their entire coaching staff for the 2026 season. Just to run through it quickly, bench coach Walker McKinven, he's back. Pitching coach Zach Bove, of course, the White Sox hired him earlier in the season, in the offseason here. Assistant pitching coach will be Bobby Hearn. They announced that this week. Bullpen coach Matt Wise is back. Hitting coach Derek Showman, they also announced that earlier this year. He'll be in his first season with the White Sox. Joel McKeithen will be back as the assistant hitting coach. Jose Leher, who we heard from earlier in the show, he'll be the first base coach and also outfield coach. Third base coach Justin Jersley will be back. We also let you hear from Dino, Chris DeNorfia. He will be the White Sox Major League Field Coordinator. Bullpen catcher Bennett Markinson is going to be there. Another bullpen catcher, Luis Sierra, will be back with the team. And then Tony Medina will be the Major League Assistant. So that will be the White Sox coaching staff for the 2026 season. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. When we return, could there be a big, big free agent signing on the horizon for the White Sox? By Monday, that is. We'll talk about that, and I'll get you set for the remainder of the day here on your home of the White Sox and your home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
Stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social today. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. Final segment here before we launch into a full Bears-Packers extravaganza all day here on your home of the Chicago Bears, in addition to, of course, your home of the Chicago White Sox. But before we do that, final thoughts here on White Sox Weekly, which you can enjoy each and every week on Saturday. Talking baseball, even in the winter, we get you thinking about baseball during the coldest time of the year. Kind of warm you up, just talking a little baseball with you each and every Saturday morning. Something I wanted to hit on, though, how about this? Some whispers and rumors surrounding the White Sox and a potential big free agent signing. That would be, of course, Munetaka Murakami, who is the Japanese 25-year-old who has been posted and needs to make a decision by Monday, December 22nd. That is this Monday. So we will get some clarity regarding Murakami. And if you're asking, okay, who is Murakami and why is Meller talking about him? First and foremost, I wouldn't necessarily bring him up unless there was some smoke around the White Sox interest as a possibility for landing the 25-year-old. Now, he'll turn 26 in February, so this will be his age 26 season. But Murakami has some prodigious power, and he's been playing in Japan, as he's obviously from Japan, for the past several seasons. And he has had some prolific power numbers. So back in 2018 is when he debuted as an 18-year-old. And since then, in full season, starting back in 2019, Murakami hit 36 home runs. In 2020, he hit 28. In 2021, he hit 39 home runs. In 2022, Murakami hit 56 home runs as a 22-year-old. In 2023, he hit another 31. In 2024, Murakami hit 33 home runs. And then last season, Murakami, as he dealt with some injuries, hit 24 home runs. So this 25-year-old, who will be 26 this season, he's a corner infielder. He primarily plays third base, but he's also played first base a little bit. He's expected to be a DH type, but he's a lefty power hitter who is 6'2", roughly 213 pounds, and he has a hit grade 45 to 50, power grade of 55 plus, as you see with that 56 home runs that he hits. Obviously, speed is not his game, somewhere in the 30 to 40 range in terms of the scouting numbers, and then fielding, he's got a 50-ish arm, but he's got some limited defensive range. So we're talking primarily here about a first base DH type who probably in a pinch could man third base for you if you needed, but obviously that is not why you would be interested in bringing him over. You want that left-handed power that Murakami could provide. And Dave Schoenfield of ESPN, when making predictions about free agents and where they might land, predicted the White Sox to be the team that lands Murakami. For Schoenfield predicted a 5-year deal for $80 million, which would obviously be a huge investment. But part of the reason why Murakami is so enticing is because as a 25-year-old who will be in his age 26 season, there is so much to dream on, and you'd be getting a player who would be entering the prime years of his career. That is something that rarely happens in Major League Baseball. You just don't see it because of the arbitration system. Players have to play at least 6, sometimes 7 seasons with a club before they actually hit free agency. So oftentimes, if you're not a player who just kicks the door down and forces your way into the majors at the age of 19, you just don't see players get to free agency at that age until they're usually 28, 29, 30 at the youngest. So Murakami, very enticing at the age of 25. He'll be, again, his age 26 season entering this year. So that's why to get some potential left-handed power coming from Japan would be a huge coup. So we'll obviously be keeping our eyes closely on Murakami and his decision, which needs to be made, again, by Monday, December 22nd. So keep an eye out on that. We'll obviously be covering that next week here on White Sox Weekly, either way, no matter what happens. I'm Jeff Meller. That is going to do it for this edition of White Sox Weekly. But folks, do not go anywhere. We have a huge day in store for you here on ESPN 1000, your home of the White Sox, and of course, your home of the Bears as well. It starts, it's already started, but it gets going again right after we're done here. Chicago's College Tailgate with Tyler Aki, Shea Norling. After them, at 11 o'clock, it is the Bears pregame spectacular. Carmen DeFalco and Barstool Eddie. 1 o'clock, Bears pregame extravaganza. Tyler Aki and Shea Norling come back for 2 hours. And then our usual Bears coverage, the pregame tailgate, Black and Abdallah at 3. 5 o'clock, your Bears Network pregame show with Waddle, Sylvie, and Deion Miller. Bears and Packers at 7 o'clock. Postgame show afterwards, Peggy Kaczynski and Yurko. And then I will be back, believe it or not, around 12:30 Sunday morning. That's right. We're going to do it late into the night with Pat the Designer and myself with the post-game show. So keep us locked in here all day long. Bears and White Sox talk. It's going to be a great day. Go White Sox. Go Bears. This is ESPN 1000.